how then can man be justified or made righteous with God? Well, it is a very important question, and we do need to know the answer. I'd like to read some verses from Romans 3, commencing at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Down in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It has been said that this book is a courtroom. It does have the similarities of a courtroom. And if we listen carefully to the verdict from the God Almighty, we hear the judge of all the earth. He declares that every nation of the world is all under sin. And as verse 19 says, and the scripture is given from Psalm 14 to prove it. The scripture proves it. We go down to verse 19. We have there the final verdict is given. Every mouth is stopped. So we cannot plead anything of self-merit because we have none. All the world is guilty before God. A very broad sweeping statement. It comes from God Almighty, the God against whom we have sinned. And this is the verdict. And at this point, the courtroom is now hushed as the words are spelled out. Solemn words, but we will never ever experience God's full, free salvation unless we reach the point and understand that we need help. A person will never put out his hand for a lifebelt in the raging sea if he doesn't realize that he's in need of help. And so here we have in verse 20, by human effort, no person is made righteous in the sight of God. Because you see, we must remember that God looks within. He looks within the heart and he sees a depraved nature. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God, and many have tried since. There are those who feel comfortable too in what they think is acceptable with God. But the question needs to be asked, what does it look like in the sight of God? That's the point. God sees everything. And God made the eye, as Isaiah said, he that made the eye, surely he is the one that can see. He that made the ear, surely he is the one that can hear. And so we are faced with a God who is looking within. And so we must ask the question, what does it look like in the sight of God. Verse 21, we have the amazing relief. The relief comes with God's way of saving the guilty. The courtroom at this point is filled with hope because it has been declared that a person can be made righteous before God, because this is what justified simply means. It's being made righteous before God. And this is not a righteousness that is established by our own merits. Why? Because we have none. And only God can make a righteous person, make a guilty person righteous in his sight. We have in chapter 8 of this same book, it is God that justifies. We have also that this righteousness is witnessed or is in agreement with the law and the prophets. The law can say nothing against it. Why is that? Because Christ has taken the punishment of a broken law when he was made a curse for us. It is illustrated even by the near kinsman in the book of Ruth, who could not redeem Ruth, but this man agreed with, and also not only that, he witnessed Boaz, the mighty man of wealth, having the ability to redeem. So not only the law had nothing to say against the righteousness that God can give, the prophets also of the Old Testament, they made known that Christ's death would pay the full price to redeem. We'll go down to verse 22. Every person who has faith in Christ alone is made righteous in his sight. Amazing, isn't it, to think of the simplicity of faith in Christ. And it also says that this righteousness from God is available to all. It's available to all, and it is availing upon all who believe. It tells us also that there is no distinction as to the degree of sin. Why? Because there's no difference. All have sinned. Have is in italic, so that is the sweeping statement. All sinned. We don't have to wait till a child born and then wait until we see the first signs of sin and then say, yes, that person has sinned as well. It is all sin, and that's the sweeping statement of God, because we have inherited a nature that can't do anything else but sin. All sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we have here that the arrow aimed for the target has missed the target. It has fallen short. And there's no person in this world that has ever reached that target. All have sinned and fallen short of glorifying God. That's the situation. It's the same as the ocean that covers the mountains and the valleys under the sea. There is no difference. The sea covers it all. And that is the verdict of God himself. We have also in chapter 10 of this book, there is also no distinction with God's saving grace, because the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Now down to verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. We have three different areas in which we have this word justified. Justified freely by his grace. Chapter 5 and 9, we are justified by his blood. Chapter 5 and 1, we are justified by faith. We'll just take these three one by one. Justified freely by his grace. We have here the grace of God and the willingness to show favour to the guilty. It comes from his heart of compassion, who has devised a means whereby we can experience God's forgiveness, God's salvation. And the only way for that to be brought about is for God, for the God to provide redemption. That is, the Son of God himself paying the full price that the righteous throne of heaven demanded, that was against our sin. So that is the justified freely by his grace. And just make mention of the one in chapter 5 and 9, we are justified by his blood. We're looking here at the sacrificial death of Christ. The death of Christ was not just an ordinary death. It is the sacrificial. It is sacrificial in its holy value. It is the foundation upon which God will justify. Because it has satisfied God, that is the meaning of the word propitiation, and it has dealt with sin in all its totality. It is the greatest event in all history, the death of Christ, the cross of Christ. Let us make much of it, because without it, there is no hope for eternity. Although there are many who do disregard it. I remember recently giving out gospel literature on the street, and I met this man, and he did take a gospel leaflet, but I just got talking to him and I made mention of the cross of Christ. And as soon as I said that, he just handed the gospel leaflet back to me. He put his hands on his hips and he said, "I can tell you, man, I want nothing to do with the cross of Christ." And I was absolutely dumbfounded. And he walked the other way. He just went up the street, and I was just left standing. I looked at that man as he walked away. I thought, that man, if he disregards the cross work of the Lord Jesus, he'll never reach heaven. And we would like to make it plain to anyone who is listening this afternoon, if you bypass the cross, there is no hope for eternal salvation, because it is the very place where God and man meets. You can meet God on no other terms but the fact that sin has been righteously dealt with, being justified by his blood. Then we have in chapter 5 and 1, it says we are justified by faith. This is how we personally receive it from God. It is not the amount of faith, but it is where our faith is resting. I remember when I first got saved, and my dad was preaching in the Craven Hall the night before, and he spoke on Romans chapter, he was speaking from Romans chapter 5. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And I got up early. The sun was not even up, and I woke early, and this verse was on my mind. And even though I had little faith, I was only young, but you know what? My faith rested upon such a profound statement of Scripture. And your faith, though you may think it's small, but the whole thing is your faith needs to find a resting place, a foundation that will never shift. And my faith, I can still say to this day that my faith is resting upon the fact that though I was without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we are justified by faith. What does the previous verse tell us? At the end of chapter 4, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So Paul is directing his hearers. We are justified by faith. But what is faith resting upon? It has to rest upon the fact that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And so that is the proof. The word of God proves that we are sinners, and the word of Christ, the word of God proves that we are saved. So the word does both things. If a person asks, how do I know I'm saved? I say, well, he that has the Son has life. The word of God declares it. It's something that we can depend on, and it will never, ever fail. So verse 25, Christ Jesus is now made known to a guilty world. Why? Because his sacrifice has fully met the righteous demands of the throne of heaven. We have the word propitiation. It means mercy seat. It is the answer to the blood applied upon the mercy seat in the Old Testament. And this is the only meeting place with God and the sinner. There's no other meeting place. You can try as you will in this world, but unless you meet God at the very place where his beloved Son gave his life for a guilty world, you'll never have eternal life. And that is the very place where God and the sinner meet. And God will show you mercy. It is the place where mercy can be found. I remember a few weeks ago, a man, I was talking to him in the workshop, and he said to me this. He said, I don't think that ever my sins could be forgiven. He said, I have so many of them. They're without number. He said, I wouldn't even try. No one can help me. I went and got my Bible out of the office and opened it at First John 1. I showed him the verse. I said, you read it out aloud. And this is what he read. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. I said, how many sins have you got? He said, I don't know. Will you read it? What was the second last word? All sin. I patted him on the shoulder. I said, that is your only hope for eternal salvation. And salvation, it will be yours as a personal possession if you understand that God has dealt with it in full. So we have the eternal value of Christ's work on the cross, dealing with sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future. We have at this present time, we have first of all, the sins of the past. It reaches back to those who have lived before the coming of the Saviour, those who are under the law of Moses, and even back before that, even back to Adam, whose sins were passed over through God's forbearance. The cross dealt with them all, taking into account all that went before. Then verse 36, at this present time, he is willing to make righteous those who believe in him. You really have nothing to give to God. You have nothing to give to God. Understand that you are helpless. You are hopeless. You are without God in this world. And your way is hard. You'll never, ever get the relief that you're longing for. You have nothing to give to God, but remember this, God has everything to give to you. And we would like you just to turn to him right now. Don't stand outside of an open door, because one day you'll stand outside of a closed door if you don't avail yourself of the mercy of God that he is offering you. And it says, at this time, it is a limited time. We don't know when that time will be up. At this time, Now is the accepted time. That's what verse 26 says. At this present time, he is willing to make righteous those who believe in him. It says also in verse 26 that he is just and the justifier. See, God's justice is upheld. It is always upheld. Why can God keep upholding his justice? Because his wrath against sin was expended upon his only Son, and he is now able to justify. He's able to make a sinner righteous. We have the future down in verse 30, God who will justify. There's still a future blessing coming to many. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will deal with that as well. And so we have here that God is able to give you something that you don't deserve, but he's made full provision. God is now asking you to receive him. In the quietness of your own heart, just simply receive him as your Lord and Savior. Make sure that that simplicity of your faith finds a resting place. And the only resting place is in the mighty sacrifice of Christ that was once for all offered, bringing eternal satisfaction to God. And that work is forever valid in the sight of God. It will never lose its value, and it will always stand secure. It will never let you down. You'll be putting your faith on the rock of ages, as Isaiah 26 tells us, the rock of ages. It's a cleft. It will never disappoint you. He will give you peace. He will give you joy in your own heart, and he will set you on the way. And you know what? You'll have the best out of both worlds. I have the best out of both worlds. I'm happy. I am content in this life. I have the best in this life, and I have the best in the life to come. Make sure you don't miss out on God's salvation, and make sure that your faith finds a sure resting place. We're about to pray, and we would like you just to bow your head in the presence of God and just simply accept it from God. God has paid the full price. You have nothing to pay, but you need to understand how that you need him. And in the quietness of your own heart, just ask him, ask the Lord Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, and you receive him by faith. And the word of God is the proof that you will be saved by his wonderful grace. Shall we close in prayer?